really lovely to be with you this morning. We always enjoy our visits to Bethany. We feel very much part of the church family here. And we're just sorry sometimes that we can't be here when we'd like to be, because that stretch of water just keeps us from you. Let's just read, shall we, the set passage for today. John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded. Come now, let us leave." And we trust God will add his blessing to his precious word. What a privilege on this Whit Sunday to talk about the Holy Spirit and to understand all that was happening. The Lord Jesus was in the upper room. In John 13, we think he probably had done what we have just done. He took bread and he took wine. It's not explained exactly in John 13, but it seems to fit the situation. And then he started to talk. And in John 14 and 15 and 16, he gives us what we could probably call the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. He gives us such help. This section in the upper room discourse, when the Lord is about to leave his disciples, he brings these comforting words that we've just read together, which are so, so important, not just for today, of course, as the church celebrates Whit Sunday, but throughout the year and every part of our Christian lives. This is the first of these particular sayings about the Holy Spirit. And I want to use four little titles to explain about them. But before I do that, I want to just emphasize that as we read, there are twin themes. And they come in the first verse that we read. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And right through this section, This comes constantly. Verse 15 I've just read. Verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. Verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to help him. And then in verse 24, he says, if you don't obey my teaching, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And as the disciples heard that, if I had been there, this is what I've been thinking. My love for the Lord is not as strong as it might be. One of the hymns says about our love is weak and faint. And so very often I feel that. My love for the Lord is so weak and so faint. And I think about all the commands that the Lord gave in the Matthew, Mark, Luke and John Gospels. And I think, how often do I fulfill all of those commands daily in my life? And perhaps the disciples were feeling, as I feel a little bit this morning, the fact that, can I really cope with this? Am I able to really love as I should and obey as I should? Am I really going to show his love for us and my love for him? That was the concern of his disciples. And Jesus said, just a minute, didn't put it quite like this. I'm going to tell you something special, something helpful. I'm going to tell you about the Holy Spirit. Because it's only by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that I can love him as I should. And it's only by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit that I can fulfill the commands that he has given to me. Without that, I am nothing. With the Spirit of God within me, I can love. I can keep those commands. How much is needed if the Spirit of God active within us to enable that to happen? So we're going to have the teaching. And the first little section is going to be the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. We know that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. The Lord Jesus explained that earlier in John, and he said, because he had not yet been glorified, and when he was glorified, he will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, or whatever word we're going to look at in a minute. I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor. Luke tells us this, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. And so very simply, we have the coming of the Holy Spirit because the Son has asked the Father and because the Father has promised that he would give the Son, the Spirit, to us. A promise that he kept. Because as we go into Acts, and you know the words very well, but on Whit Sunday, let's read some of them. And he says this quite simply in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. So here we have something extra. Not only the Father has promised, as we saw, Luke gave us that. But when he writes the Acts in chapter 1, he says, it is a gift. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift. And then in verse 5, we read, and John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The picture is of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's a gift to us. And then finally, he says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the ends of the earth. We'll be empowered. And that gift came on the day of Pentecost. That promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The church was born. There was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And those who were there at that time, on that day, were empowered by mighty power. So Peter who denied the Lord, Peter who often said the wrong things, Peter who often did the wrong things, stands up in front of this crowd and preaches a sermon that has never been preached like since. The power of Peter's words. And that day, so many responded because the Holy Spirit had come upon them. That was the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So when we think of the coming of the Holy Spirit, we recognize the Lord had asked for it, and the Father had promised it, and all that he asked for and all that was promised came on that day of Pentecost, that special day that we remember especially today. I want to mention the character of the Holy Spirit now, having mentioned the coming. And probably, if you've got a different version than what I've been reading out, and I've been reading from the Gideon version of the NIV, you've got a different word. And it's the same word, only it's translated in lots of different ways. And that helps us perhaps to understand what actually the word means. Paraklet, the Greek word, means to come alongside. And occasionally, and over the history of our travels, the car is broken down, we phone the AA, and eventually they come and sort out the problem. They come alongside to help us when we need them. And that's really the sort of background of the word, to come alongside to help. So he's called the Comforter, I think in the Authorized Version. And there's a sense of comfort that he brings. If somebody's going through a difficult time, and we might sort of share with them and perhaps even put our arms around them and comfort them. But there's more to comforting than that. Comforting really is to help them stand up and get on with what perhaps they ought to be doing. It's helping to strengthen them in a difficult time. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's the comfort that helps us to have strength to carry on in difficult times. He's the counselor, which is what the NIV that I read to you. He's the one who helps to teach us, as we shall see in a moment. He's the advocate, as one translation uses that, because John uses the same word three times in John's Gospel and once in his epistle, and he says, "We have an advocate with the Father." And somebody said this, which I felt was so, so helpful. We have one who stands beside us as an advocate on earth. We have one in heaven who stands there on our behalf. As we sang, Jesus is King, we have a priest there in heaven. The Lord Jesus himself is an advocate in heaven. The Holy Spirit stands alongside us in this world in which we live as a comforter, as a counselor, as a helper. I noticed the ESV, which is one of the modern translations that people are using these days, it just simply says, he's the helper. And when I go around in my ministry, whatever I'm doing, I need that help. And as you live through life, whatever you do, at work, at home, in situations, you need that help. And the Holy Spirit gives us, very simply, the help that we need. What a wonderful character that is. And the Lord Jesus said, he will give you another counselor to be with you. The word another is very important because it hides the fact that it says very simply, he will give you another like me. So the disciples would have thought as they heard those words, we know what the Lord is, we know what he says, we know what he does, we know the comfort, the counsel, the help we've been given by him. The counselor who's going to come, the Holy Spirit, he's going to be just like that. Another just like me. And he will be with you forever. That's amazing, isn't it? You see, in the Old Testament, there are times when the Holy Spirit dwelt with people. There are many times when the Holy Spirit came upon people. And some of the great men of the Old Testament had the Spirit for a time, at a situation, in a temporary fashion. But the Lord Jesus is saying, when you come to that point of trusting in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes within you and he is there forever. And there are two points to emphasize. One is this, the Lord Jesus made it very clear here that the Holy Spirit is not given to those who don't know the Father, who don't love him, who don't keep his commands. It's not for everybody. But there comes a time, and most of us have come to that time, I'm quite sure, in our lives, and we've looked back with thankfulness to that day, when we trusted in Christ. We believed that he died for us. He shed his blood. He gave his body for us on the cross. Our sins are forgiven. And we know the truth of that. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Paul says, you are the temple of God, speaking to the Christians. And he says, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Romans 8 tells us quite clearly, the Holy Spirit lives within us. And I believe that when we trust the Lord Jesus, we know the power of the Spirit within us. His presence, his power within us. That does not mean that we always do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We know that we can grieve him, we can hinder him, we can be against him at times, but he is always there with us. He is with us, said the Lord Jesus, forever. And those who somehow or other think they can lose their salvation need to just read that verse to remind themselves that once we have the Holy Spirit within us, once we're truly saved and truly born again, he is with us forever. We've had the coming of the Holy Spirit. We've had the character of the Holy Spirit. But as we continue with that thought, there's another name that's very significant. And you'll see it in verse 17. The Spirit of Truth. So the Lord Jesus is helping them to understand not only his paraclete work as counselor, helper, advocate, comforter, if you like, the Spirit of Truth. And he's telling us that this is so important. Mentioned again in verse 17, he says, the Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Mentioned again in chapter 15 and verse 26, where he emphasizes how true that is. And he says in verse 26 in chapter 15, the Spirit of Truth will come. When the Counselor comes, I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. And a similar verse in chapter 16. And we, of course, know that. The Lord Jesus made it very clear in verse 6 that we know so well in chapter 14. I am the way, the truth. He is the truth. He lived the truth. He spoke the truth. He was the truth and is the truth. And the Holy Spirit is like him, the Spirit of Truth. He leads us into truth. Truth from his word, truth in our lives. He is truly the Spirit of Truth. And he is with us. So that's another aspect of his character and equally important. His teaching is true. He glorifies Christ, who is the truth, as verse 6 makes very clear. So that's the character of the Holy Spirit. Now we come to the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus says quite simply here, as he tells them this particular situation, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, obviously we know what an orphan is. It's somebody who's isolated. It's somebody who's desolate. But apparently it would have a particular significance to the disciples. The disciples were linked to a master, to a teacher, to a rabbi. That was the pattern in Jewish customs and culture in those days. And the Lord was one of those rabbis, one of those teachers, and had gathered his disciples who followed him around and who listened to his teaching. But he's going away. So they're going to like be orphans. They've lost their rabbi. They've lost their master. And he said, I'm not going to leave you like that because I will not leave you as orphans. Number one, I will come to you. And even though we have the words above that the Holy Spirit is coming, in a sense the Lord identifies with that and he says, I will come to you. What comfort that is, isn't it? He comes to us. The world sometimes finds God so distant, so far away. But to the believer, we have this promise that the Holy Spirit will come to us. The Lord Jesus will come to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, in verse 19, he says this, and I want you to notice this. He says, because I live, and we know that's true, we celebrated in our songs this morning, the risen Christ, because I live, you also will live. That, of course, takes us back to John 11, when we remember that tremendous text, I am the resurrection and the life, he who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that's the truth, isn't it? We shall live. Praise God that we have a hope that takes us beyond the grave, takes us into the very presence of the Lord Jesus. We shall live. What a comfort to each one of us, even as we struggle perhaps with life, and to know the reality of it all and all the struggles of our world, we know this. We live also, and he says, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And I looked in I don't know how many books to try and find an illustration that will explain that verse. And most of the commentators seem to think, well, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to make any comments about it. But it is a wonderful verse, isn't it? That I will come to you, and that I will be he who loves me. I will come and love him and show myself to him. But in verse 20, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. All we can simply say is this, we are closely, closely linked with him. Intimate in some way that's beyond our understanding. But because he makes this simple statement, he's saying, whatever happens, I am in my Father, we know that. You're in me because we're in Christ, and he's in within us. What a comfort that is. We're not left alone. He comes, he lives, we live. And verse 23 puts it like this. We will come to him and make our home with him. The idea here, of course, is not that somebody just passes and spends an odd night with us, but somebody who stays with us. Somebody's there all the time. And we will come to them, said the Lord, and be at home with them. Some of these things are a bit difficult to get our heads around, aren't they? But just to think of that, we will come to them and make our home with him, or with him. And that's our privilege, and we can thank God for that wonderful thing. What a comfort he brings. This character that we thought about with his various names, he brings comfort to each one of our hearts. And what comfort it is. We move on to the next little thought that I have, and we come to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We've had the coming and the character, and we've had the comfort, now the counsel. And he says this in verse 26. He will teach you all things. Notice what we read. But the counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Where do we learn from? The Scriptures. But how can the Scriptures mean something to us? Only by the power and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. We think all things probably refers to all that they had been listening to from the words of the Lord Jesus, from the moment when he started preaching to the day that they had arrived at in the upper room. All the things they ever heard from him, he will teach you all those things. And he will remind you of everything. What a privilege it is to come and remember the Lord Jesus. And as we sat there and quietly prayed, no doubt we were being reminded of all that had happened. We thought of the road to Calvary. We thought of the scene of Calvary. We thought of the anguish of Calvary. We thought of the burial. And we thought of an empty tomb and a risen Christ. We have thought of everything in one way or another. And we never cease to read those scriptures and find something special and something new, because he brings all things to your remembrance. And most of us are getting on a bit, and up here is not as good as it used to be. And if I speak to you and I can't remember your name, if I say to you, it's lovely to see you, dear brother, it means I've forgotten who you are, or I've forgotten your name. I know most of you, of course, and lovely to see you all, and particularly those who've been poorly and we've been praying for here this morning, but healing brings things to our remembrance. And we can't remember 66 books and all the verses of the Bible. It's impossible, isn't it? But the things are important he brings to us. And sometimes things that are very special, when we need them, there's a word that suddenly comes to our hearts, isn't it? And I've had that experience, and I'm sure many of you have as well. Just when you're going through a difficult time, he brings some word to you which is just what you need in that situation. He will remind you of everything. But then we get into chapter 15 and in verse 26. I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. What a word that is. Because the Holy Spirit testifies, witnesses, explains all about Christ. We have the book, and that's important, and we should never cease to marvel at the wonder of that. But from that book, the Spirit of God teaches us, and he testifies about me. How do I understand anything about the Lord Jesus? The Holy Spirit is leading me into that. I can't see him, but I know he's there. But I experience the truth of that and the wonder of it day by day as I read God's word. Wonderful privilege. And chapter 16 and verse 13, he says this, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. I think that's not just truth in the scriptures, but I think it's truth in life, truth in words, truth in actions. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. He doesn't guide us the wrong way, a wicked way, an evil way. He guides us literally into truth. And sometimes we come to that situation, don't we? And I think as you get older, you get even more like that. I need to do some decision making. Is this house too big for me? Is the garden too big for me? Should I be closer to the family? All these things you have to think about sometimes. But he guides you into the truth, which I believe is God's will and God's place for me. If we pause and we just leave it in his hands, he will guide us into all truth. And he will tell you, says chapter 16 and verse 13, all that is to come. And we know that with assurance, don't we? In a very definite way, as he's explained this to us here. He will testify about me, and you must also testify, for you have been with him from the beginning. He's going to tell us the things which are yet to come. And we know that, don't we? We have a hope that is far above this world in heaven itself, and we long for that. So the character, the coming, the counsel, and now the counsel, the comfort, and now the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And he finishes this lovely section in chapter 14 with just a little help to us. And he says, as you go through without me, dear friends, and you know that I'm going through a difficult time, you're going to run away at Gethsemane, you're not going to be standing at the cross when I'm crucified. On resurrection day, you will be so confused, you won't know what's happening. I'm going to tell you this. Peace, I leave with you. And all of this that I've been speaking about this morning, does it not do this? Does it not bring peace in my heart? That I know the Spirit of God is there to comfort, to help, to show me what I should do, to help me know more of Christ. What a peace that brings. A settledness, a real sense of the presence of God within me. But more than that, he says, look at verse 28. He said, I'm going away, and if ye love me, you will be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than me. There's a joy. Joy because the work on earth of the Lord Jesus has done. He's finished his work. He's seated at God's right hand. but joy also because, very simply, we know that we're going to be with him. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to go through our life day by day until that time comes when we shall be in his presence. What peace, what joy. I trust this morning will encourage us. The Spirit of God teaches us, doesn't he? He brings things to our remembrance. And I trust that something has happened to the word this morning to individuals. Just a few weeks ago, I was speaking at a church, and a person I know in the church quite well suffers from mental illness, but a lovely Christian. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, "Stephen, that was God speaking to me." And I thought, well, I'm encouraged by that, and if God uses me in some way to help somebody else. But maybe this morning God has spoken to you, and we trust that might be the case. I want to read a little chorus, and I want to show you something else, and then back Sharon to you. Just to say these lovely words that we know so well, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Make me, melt me, mold me, heal me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me." May that be our prayer this morning.